Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, part two, we have comedian Ahmed Ahmed in the studio. We take a deep dive into some old man show bits that I forgot about that were very, very funny, and some discussions about what's going on in the Dominican Republic. First, Brush Hero, incredible water-powered car detail tool. Connects to any garden hose. This thing is great. It's hydro-powered. Yep, if you've got a motorcycle, you'll love the Brush Hero. If it's good for the hard-to-reach places like in between the spokes and the nooks and the crannies. Brush Hero is tough on road muck, busts up the brake dust as well, but gentle on paint and chrome, makes a great gift, and they've got gift sets and bundles for every budget. I have one of these. They're really cool. You'd be surprised just how much torque the water can create spinning that brush around. You can get 15% off. 15% for our listeners. Just go to brushhero.com/pages/Adam. It's a really cool device. Your dad will love it. You'll love it. And use Adam at checkout, or you can pick one up at your local Costco. brushhero.com/pages/Adam. Use the code Adam at checkout. Let's do it.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. This weekend at Comedy Works South in Denver, Colorado.
Canuck, we get it. You're Canadian. You're playing fucking hockey, and your name is Guy Lafleur. We understand. You're fucking Canadian. We get it. You don't have to name your team Canadian.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Adam Carolla is unprepared. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sayre, Oklahoma. A 40-year-old woman was charged with introducing contraband into a correctional facility. The woman launched a package of tobacco, earbuds, digital scales, methamphetamine, and marijuana into a medium-security men's prison with a T-shirt cannon! Definitely not a Jew!
This awesome work, Dawson. This half of the show brought to you by brushhero.com/pages/Adam and geico.com. Ahmed Ahmed, comedian, is in studio. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, guys. How are you?
So as we said, he called in after that dust up in Miami a few weeks ago. He's got tour dates going on all over the place, and I'll tell you how to get tickets to Ahmed doing stand-up. Phoenix coming up, Houston, Vegas. You get tickets at ahmedahmed.com. Vince Vaughn. How did that come about?
I heard you guys were neighbors.
Yeah, we were.
Briefly.
Okay. Yeah.
I went to that house in La Cañada.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know which one you were on, which side you're on, but
I was on the left as you face the house.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a short lived stint there.
I know. I wonder.
Did he move because of Adam?
No.
Insane neighbor that moved in next door.
Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I did have a conversation with him about my neighboring skills and my bedside neighbor manner.
Okay.
And he seemed off put by it. And. Well, like,
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. Or
no,
serious.
I'm being serious.
It's all real.
Like, oh, okay. Well,
like,
okay.
Like you ever have that thing where like you ever get in front of a group of people and you go like, well, yeah, I pee in the shower. Everyone pees in the shower, and everyone starts looking at you like,
what?
Why are you peeing in the? But the toilet's right in the. It's right there, right? Why don't you? And you're like, yeah, I know, but everyone,
well,
everyone does it. Like everyone's like going, no, we
this is
don't.
This is awful.
Right. So replace shower with sink, and replace bathroom with kitchen, and that's kind of what happens to me sometimes, right. But I was we did walk to dinner with Vince and his wife and my wife, and we just went out on a Saturday night, and I was explaining to him that I had a neighbor that I hated and that I announced that if that guy's house caught on fire, I wouldn't call the fire department. And then I announced that his house did catch on fire and I didn't call the fire department. And Vince was looking at me like, really? And I was like, yeah, fuck that guy. And he was like, oh my God. He was like, you didn't call the fire department? Like, he was in the house. I was like, screw him. There's an old man.
Oh, my God.
So that could have.
Maybe that triggered his move.
Scale.
I wouldn't say it was all of what he based his decision to move on, but it could have been a factor.
There was a Keller Williams sign the next day on the lawn.
I know. I doubt it was that because he's. You know, he's a comedian. He's an artist. He has a morbid sense of humor like all of us. So I think he probably questioned it, but took it in stride.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Was he, I found him to be just a real world dude. Like I just found him to be as regular as a dude can be.
He's the best, man. I met Vince Vaughn on an after school special called The Fourth Man with Peter Billingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Who, if you ever remember the Christmas story,
sure.
I'll Shoot Your Eye Out, Ralphie.
Yeah, Ralphie.
Of course.
he was kind of on the descent of his career as an actor. Like he was,
Peter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was kind of Macaulay Culkin down,
right.
You know, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. was bottoming out. And he got this lead in this after school special called The Fourth Man about this guy who takes steroids to impress a girl, and Vince Vaughn, the unknown Vince Vaughn at the time, was playing his best friend who was like, don't do drugs, I'll tell the coach or whatever. And I was a guy in the track team. I was an extra, actually, who was a guy in the track team who, when Peter walked by, I rolled my eyes at him like, look at that, you loser. Right.
Right.
And long story short, we all became friends. And that's how we met. And he was always that guy, even before he became famous. He was very kind of just regular old Chicago kid, shoot from the hip. Not very flashy. He doesn't wear jewelry or, you know, drive no. flashy cars and none of that stuff.
Yeah, he'd be like least likely to get a tattoo if there was yeah. something in a yearbook that was least likely to get a tattoo. His picture would be it. I'd probably come in second. You live in Malaysia?
I do. I moved there last year. I took a job as a producer for a company called LOL Events. They're known to bring live stand-up comics to Kuala Lumpur. I was the first one to go in 2011, and since then they've had Kevin Hart, Russell Peters, Joe Coy, Margaret Cho. We had Jimmy Carr, Jeff Dunham, Gabriel Iglesias. The list goes on and on. But they wanted to branch off and start doing content, and so they brought me on to kind of spearhead that.
I saw Jimmy Carr at the Improv on Tuesday night. By the way, and I would compliment his act, but he came on right after me, and I just left because I'm working all goddamn day.
You can still compliment his act.
Split out. The joke I heard on the way out was good.
He's genius.
He is a very smart comedian.
Yeah.
And so you said it says here they're very much into black magic in the Kuala Lumpur. Is that true?
Well, you know, black magic and witchcraft and voodoo and all that shit kind of exists all over the world, you know, even New Orleans, it's known. But they took it to like some next level shit in Malaysia.
would it be safe to say that there's certain subjects that just sort of suggest and I'm using this technically, although it's going to sound bad, a retardation of versus an advance, mm-hmm. you know, when
sure,
you're doing timing on a car, you can advance the
music,
timing
sure.
and you can retard the
yeah.
timing.
Right.
And when you hear about the way certain cultures, let's say, treat the gay community or feelings toward women or relationship with black magic and things like that. Could we just agree that those were things we should try to weed out of communities?
Absolutely.
Because it's probably, first off, they probably all sort of commingle. Like, I got a voodoo doll and I'm going to stab it in the ass so that guy isn't gay or whatever it is. If you use your own dick, then it makes you gay. So very, you have to be very careful. Well, I'm saying, like, if you just said, hey, there's this one place, and this one place is not really involved with any black magic and
little to none.
Yeah. They have, more science-based.
They have a smattering of gypsies, but mm-hmm. not really, mm-hmm. and they're down with the gay cause. Mm-hmm. Versus this one, which is really doesn't like the gay community and is really into Santeria, you'd kind of know where you yeah. want to live and
which
where you don't want to live,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sort of educated on this until I got there. And I think had I known going in, maybe I would have thought twice. But
are you happy there?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's tropical weather, so it's very humid, hot and humid all the time. It's right in Central Asia, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump from Singapore, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam.
The people are cool.
Yeah. There are about three sort of main cultures there. There are the Malay Malaysians. Then you have Indian and Chinese. So many Chinese.
The Chinese are really into the superstition and all the stuff. I just learned from going into real high-end London gambling establishment, like the places that are in mansions. Mm-hmm. They don't have signs or neon or swimming pools or anything. They're just like for serious gamblers. And everyone who comes in and drops the mega bucks is Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And they have all the symbols. You know, so whenever there's luck, there's good luck and bad luck.
Right.
So there's the stuff you need. There's all the symbols you do need. And then you have to face the mirrors that direction. And it's bad luck to have the books in the shelf going this direction.
The feng shui. Yeah, it's all.
Yeah, so it's like.
Even Chinese astrology. My friend's girlfriend's Chinese. And she asked me, you know, what's your birthday? And I told her. She said, oh, you're the year of the dog.
Right.
I said, what does that mean? She said, bad luck.
Right.
I was like, oh, well.
Thank you.
I said, what are you? She's under you of the pig. I said, what does that mean? She said, good luck.
Right.
I was like, not if you're bacon.
Right.
I remember on 8/8/2008, there was a massive, you know, Chinese wedding. So that's a very, lucky in China.
Right.
August 8th, 2008, you know, 8/8/08 was a very lucky day, supposedly.
It's weird that I say this every other show, but in almost 2020, many cultures are still really invested in this luck and this bad omen and these bad signs and what year you're born and even astrology or whatever. I don't know. It's the opposite of progress in my mind.
I bought into it for many years. I was like religiously into like astrology.com. I'd wake up every morning, smoke a cigarette, drink coffee, and just, what should I do today? No, I can't go outside. Oh, I better shut the windows. Like, I was letting
Don't use any electronics.
Right.
Mercury's in retrograde.
I was like literally letting it run my life. Yeah. And then I think my mom like pulled me aside and she was like, you know, this is bullshit. And you need to believe in God and stop with all this voodoo and whatever.
My mom had a biorhythm wheel, and like it's one of those things. I feel I always have these thoughts, which is it's the same thoughts I have about the biorhythm wheel. It's the same thoughts I have about Maxine Waters and her constituency. It's like, how about you vote some Republican Japanese guy in? It's like, are you kidding me? We got Maxine Waters. Like, okay, you're going on 40 years of fucking poverty, crime, and junk. Like, just look around. How's it working out? Like, we can't go any other direction than Maxine Waters. It's like, I would argue you should go any direction other than fucking Maxine Waters because of where you live. And you say in the same breath, you're like, oh, the school systems are for shit. There's homeless everywhere. There's violence. There's poverty. And it's like, oh, okay. Maybe the person who's running this ship, you're essentially a football team that hasn't had a winning season in 40 years. And you go, well, what if we go with another coach? Oh, are you kidding?
We're good.
We can't go that direction. I feel that same way. I'd like to find everyone in the fucking biorhythms wheel. My mom had one in like 1973. Like, I'm going to consult my body. Your life turned out like shit. Nothing good ever happened. Maybe this biorhythms wheel was
Didn't work.
Fucking waste of time. Why are we still attracted to this? Like, why should another group consult the wheel or Maxine Waters? Like, have we not proven it does not work?
No.
Do we have enough proof?
I think people just need something to believe in. I think people need some sort of symbolic thing to believe in other than, you know, than themselves.
The cynical point of view, my cynical point of view is, if it's a biorhythm wheel or astrology or whatever, is that just kind of passing the buck on making life decisions?
It does get you out of a lot of stuff.
Like, oh, the whatever, the astrology, the charts, the rhythm wheel, it's telling me I can't do X today. Or
I'd love to.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching Ellen DeGeneres on David Letterman's My Next Guest Is, like yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know if you've seen
it. Yeah, that one came out recently.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
It was really fascinating. She got really deep and talked about some personal stuff, but when she came out and she was sort of, you know, banished from Hollywood, and people were sort of, you know, looking at her as an outcast, and she couldn't get work, and she was kind of dwindling around for 3 years. She was about to give up, and she moved to Ojai, and one of her neighbor's daughters came over and said, "Hey, my mom's an astrologist, and she wants to talk to you." So she went over there, and apparently the astrologist said, when you turn 45 years old, she was about to turn 45. When you turn 45 years old, you're going to get the best job of your life and it's going to last a very long time. You're going to be very successful. And then she came out and she said, in fact, I got the Ellen show when I was 45.
Right.
And then she said, and people clapped and it was like a moment. And then she said, so, you know, I see this woman, you know, every year now. And she went on to say, like, she bought into it. You know, she bought into the...
Yeah.
To the belief of how
the problem with that is she could say it to someone and that someone could manage a Ben and Jerry's at 45 and they would think
that was it.
The prophet had spoken, you know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Okay, big picture then big picture. And this is what I try to tell people all the time. I was yelling about this with Dr. Drew the other day, and it's why politicians that say either I'm going to fix this or you can't do this because you're black or Hispanic or gay or female or whatever it is. Your job is to try to, if you have a business and you outsource a ton of stuff, then you're sort of at the you know, if you have to truck all your goods somewhere or you rely on all the raw resources or materials from other businesses. As much stuff you have to outsource, you're vulnerable because if your production slows down because they're not supplying you with any more raw material or the trucking company is backed up and they're not going to ship anything for a month or whatever, the more you have to go outside of your own building, the more vulnerable you are. Now, you can have relationships with trucking companies and guys who provide the ore and you melt it down or whatever it is, but the more you can get under your roof, the more you can control what's going on. And in your life, you can't control being hit by a drunk driver. You can control driving at 2 a.m. on New Year's Eve and lessen those chances, but you can't control what people are doing if there's an airplane crash or whatever it is. You can't control that, but you should try to control as much as you can control. Some people like to outsource. The outsource is the biorhythms wheel. It's the astronomer. It's the politician who needs to be doing more for me and my community and my school. It's the powers that are holding me down or holding me back or explaining you can't do this because of the color of your skin or your sexual proclivities. You should try to internalize and use and get as much done in your facility. Your facility is your body and your mind is humanly possible because it won't subject you to other people screwing up or making you wait or being bad at their job.
Well, that's the serenity prayer.
Right. So take it in and try and control as much of your life as you can control. No one's ever going to get to 100%. We do rely on other people and other entities. And at a certain point, somebody behind that desk is going to either have to like your resume or not, or some chick across the bar or guy across the bar is going to have to appreciate you sending a drink over or not. You cannot control 100% of it. But the people that do really well control a very high percentage, and the people who don't are low percentage. Like, where's my government cheese? Well, they're late dropping it off. Well, right. I'm hungry. Right. You've outsourced your food. This is a problem. Now, the society that we're living in makes a lot of money and gets a lot of votes from convincing you to outsource.
Right, the brainwashing.
You turn on the news and there's some lawyer and there's a class action lawsuit and they want you to join it.
Get yours.
And there's a politician who's explaining, once I'm in place, we'll have universal income and free health care. And that's very alluring to the person that wants to outsource, because why not get free this and why not get universal whatever? So you're essentially playing to the foibles of human beings. And I'm going to need you guys to be a little stronger than that. Thank you.
That was very Kanye of you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny because going back to the Letterman thing, he was on
there. He's just on there,
did
too.
You see
yeah.
That one?
Yeah, I saw part of it.
He was preaching the kind of what you were just, you know, throwing down.
Well, as I was saying,
it's just like not having to, like, at the end of the day, and especially in our field, right? We have to go internal. We have to, you know, go inwards and not try to rely on other people's opinions and, you know, and get swayed, because that's how it's really easy to get swayed. Somebody says, no, you need to go, especially in our business, when an agent or a manager or a producer or somebody who's not very artistic, they're more on the business side. Hey, you need to do this.
Well, you know, as I was saying,
and it's a balance.
As I was saying to Dr. Drew, when I was complaining about it, I was saying, like, it's just there's a sort of chasm, and there's people on one side, the haves, and then there's the have-nots. And the politicians are explaining that the chasm is growing wider and wider every day. And I'm like, instead of explaining that you'll never make it to their side, let's talk about the bridge to get you to the other side. But the thing that's insane about us as human beings is there's so many people on the have side who started off on the have not side, and look no further than your Oprahs or your Ellens or your whatever. And you go, she's a black woman who was born in the 60s to a poor family and the product of molestation or something. Look at her now. How did Ellen do it?
Right.
As a woman, as a lesbian, this town, like, you're rich beyond your wildest dreams. How does Jay-Z do it? How does so many people cross over to that other side? It's incredible to me that people with a straight face explain you can't do it when you check the Forbes 500 and 80% of them have crossed over.
Right. Who came from nothing.
Right.
They just manifested it. They visualized it. They wrote it down. They read the
books.
Whatever they made it happen.
Put away the biorhythms wheel.
Get to work.
And start visualizing it and stop listening to people who are telling you it's never going to work because the playing field isn't even. Of course it's not even.
Preach,
it can't
brother.
Be even.
Preach.
All right, let me hit Geico. Then we'll get into some news. Tell Vince about my inspiration speech. I've spoken to him in a while. Geico, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save a bunch of money on your car insurance? Just go to geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes, and you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico, geico.com. All right, we'll take a quickie break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina Grab.
Give me the news with Grab. News with Gina Grab. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Oh, hold on. I'm still pissed. You know how many people I know where the one son is wildly successful and the other son isn't, or killed themselves, or became a drug addict just within the same family?
Mm-hmm.
How do you chalk that up to haves and have-nots?
Right.
We're living in the same fucking house. What, the politicians got in between the two brothers and anointed one successful and held the other one back? I mean, we all see it. Look at me and my sister. I'm not going to say which one of us is the loser, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
It's known.
With every family, there is wide chasms in between, like the two brothers
Tom Hanks.
Are 9 years apart. Yeah, what about Tom
Stallone.
Hanks? Yeah, what about
Stallone.
Swayze?
Well, there you
brothers.
Come here,
Swayze. Sorry.
Who looks more like Swayze than Swayze?
Baldwins.
Swayze.
Couple of the Baldwin brothers.
Patrick. Oh, my God. Just the Baldwins. Patrick Swayze looks more like Swayze than Swayze.
That's, yeah. No, that's, the other Swayze.
Oh, wait. What did I say?
What's Patrick Swayze's brother's name?
Oh, wait. It was, God.
Don Swayze.
Don looks more like Patrick than Patrick.
Don Swayze looks more like Patrick Swayze than Patrick Swayze.
It's crazy.
And what happened?
Especially now.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry.
Director Brian Singer, you know the name. He was accused of sexually abusing underage boys. He has agreed to pay $150,000 to a man who claims he was assaulted by Singer as a teenager. The guy is Cesar Sanchez Guzman.
He's getting off light.
He says he was 17 when the X-Men director forced himself on him at a party in 2003. Singer's lawyer says that although he has agreed to pay, it is not an admission of guilt. He said in a statement, quote, Mr. Singer has denied even knowing this individual, let alone allegedly having interacted with him from more than 15 years ago. After the payment is received, the sexual assault claim will be thrown out. Meanwhile, this is how it's going to break down. For what it's worth, the settlement was reached at a time where Sanchez Guzman is filing for bankruptcy. So under the term of the agreement, $61,000 goes to creditors and paying off student loans, which is not you can't declare under bankruptcy. Additional funds will be used to pay for the administration aspects of the case, and Sanchez Guzman will get the rest.
What do you mean forced him on? Do they know?
Brian, you've always had I don't know why, but you have some insight on this.
I'd only heard stories from people who I consider to be very reliable that this sort of thing went on for a long time with Bryan Singer and Young Boys.
At part, like, you know,
yeah, parties
come
on
meet
boats,
us at this pool party.
Yeah, the kind of, you know,
the new young
pay for play kind of situation.
I don't know what was wrong with my childhood, but when I was in the 11th grade, I didn't go to any parties with A-list directors bouncing around.
Just dying to get to know you?
No, it's just other jack off buddies going, you want a Mickey's Big Mouth? Yeah, all right.
Joel Schumacher wasn't looking your way?
No, I didn't go to any party with any famous people.
You lived right here.
I know, I lived in North Hollywood.
They went cruising for talent in North Hollywood.
No.
All right. Well, a couple more stories out of the Dominican Republic. Officials in the Dominican Republic are concerned about the impact a spate of suspicious deaths will have on tourism. In recent weeks, several vacationers died while staying at resorts on the island. The FBI has been investigating seven inexplicable deaths. One of them, by the way, Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran's brother. Her rep said that John Corcoran passed away at the end of April from what is believed to be natural causes. He loved visiting
I saw some stories on this. They were like focusing on the mini bar.
That's exactly what they
said. The resort.
Yes.
And the mini, if you want to know how hard the Dominican Republic likes to party, their mini bars don't have mini bottles. They have full bottles.
Maxi bottles.
Turned upside
like
down, and you just hit it like an udder.
Oh.
So maybe these people just OD'd.
Yeah, well, there's nothing in here about, you know, alcohol poisoning, but that's a good point. They said,
I don't know if it's alcohol poisoning or like poisoning of the alcohol
right.
or whatever it is.
Well, this is what the autopsy report blames the deaths on, quote, pulmonary edema and respiratory failure. I would love for Dr. Drew to weigh in at some point. Many of the victims died of similar causes after drinking the alcohol from the minibar.
Oh.
The FBI is not alone, by the way. The World Health Organization and CDC are investigating as well. All these deaths and David Ortiz shooting on the island.
Yeah. Although that,
and I have a little update
that
on
had that. To do with the mini bar.
It had nothing to do with the mini bar.
Also, can we say...
A lot of PR, a lot of optics right now.
Where was Singleton coming back from when he got ill?
Oh, somewhere foreign.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Oh, Costa Rica. Okay.
Which is awesome.
So let's just try not to be superstitious natives here. Because we do this thing where we go like, and these three people died, and then Big Poppy? I mean, when's this going to end? And it's like, well, he got shot in the back at a bar, so let's not count him into this group.
Right. But I'm just saying that because of a tourism
I got
aspect.
It.
People are like, I don't know, do
so
I cancel?
The thing is if someone's going to come to your weird place and get drunk and spend money, on average, every 3 years, two people are going to die. And that's just kind of how it coalesces.
Right.
But if you put all those three people into one month.
Resort.
And Drew always says that like random events sort of, I'll paraphrase, but they work out in a non-random kind of way and it freaks everybody out.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to average a tourist a year, it's not going to be, well, in 10 years, we lost 10 tourists. No, it's going to be in 1 year, we lost 5 tourists.
Right.
Like something's just going to happen in a weird way.
Right.
So maybe this is just
part of that
people getting drunk and dying, which they do.
Yeah.
And it just happened to happen 3 times in a row.
Right.
I mean, you know, people always die in threes, right?
Yeah.
That's three right. times, fool.
Well, just a quick update. We'll stay in the Dominican for a hot second. Authorities have arrested the man they believe shot David Ortiz. Police say Ramon Martinez Perez was part of the group that was offered. And it's funny because we, thank God we got it right. Chris got it right.
He got felt up by Singer too, right?
Oh, yeah, that's
of course.
It was like $100,000.
A lot of news outlets reported that they were offered $400,000. It was pesos. So it was about $8,000 as we reported. So it was $8,000 to kill him. Surveillance video from the bar where the shooting took place allegedly shows Perez firing a gun into Ortiz's back. 6 people have been arrested in connection with the crime.
Can I say that? Is that the version, like, you know, when women, like where we talk about, like, well, Gina, if you ever became a prostitute, you'd be like a $75 to $90 prostitute. And then you go, what the fuck? And then you go, no, I'd be $5,000. Like, yeah. I'd be a high class hooker. And I'd go, I could get like one trip to the ATM, even if it was one of those limited ones. And it's a slap in the face, and I feel like
hurtful.
The version of that for guys is right. How much to kill you.
Right.
You
know what I mean?
Like,
you?
Oh, we'll do it for well under 10.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well.
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, I'm a huge star. Yeah, we could get that done quickly.
This is the plot of Ruthless People, by the way, if you remember
is
that.
Is it?
Bette Midler, Judge Reinhold, Helen Slater.
DeVito, right?
Yeah. God, DeVito. I love that movie.
I think I get that confused with Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see
that. Which came out about the same time. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
Why do we need Big Bobby dead for $8,000? And who?
We don't know yet.
What's he doing?
We don't know.
All right.
Police
said,
value.
Yeah, the police said the handgun used in the attempted hit was found buried near a house about 100 miles away where one of the suspects was arrested. And Ortiz is back in the United States. He's suffering a lot of internal damage and now, so far, two surgeries.
Mm. Yeah.
So we'll. I mean, I hope we find out what the motive was because this just—it's insane. 1 week ago, Joe Crane, the morning meteorologist on WICS in Springfield, Illinois, called out station management for mandating these over-the-top alarmist code red weather alerts, and he did it on the show. Mm. And he's out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
A spokesman for the station's parent company, Sinclair Broadcasting Group, confirmed Wednesday night that Joe was let go. Here's the clip that got him in such hot water with Sinclair. And, you know, he's a respected meteorologist, and he doesn't want to scare people that, you know, for no reason. So this is part of what he had to say.
I don't take myself very seriously, but I do take my job seriously and my responsibility to the public. So we want you to know it's not us. This is a corporate initiative, the Code Red Alert. And behind the scenes, many of us have tried to dissuade it for the last few months to try something else that's less controversial to the viewers. And it continues to be controversial based on all the social media that continues to this day. So keep in mind, despite the fact that this facility is owned by a corporation, it's still licensed under the authority by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. So you still have a voice. Keep those cards and letters coming.
So the community is very en masse behind him, of course, and people are livid. And Sinclair, I believe, did not comment.
I have never felt so in favor of one of Adam's theories. As you know, you say people sometimes just want out. You know what I mean? They kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They just want out.
Mm-hmm.
Sinclair Broadcasting is pretty controversial. They're the ones that will, you know.
Supercut.
Yeah, you've seen supercuts of them, of all their anchors across all their platforms in many cities, reading verbatim, you know, the sort of propaganda-ish.
Yeah, I go to sports clips now, but anyway, I think I know what you're talking about.
So I'm wondering if he's like, you know what, this place is not really for me. I'm not too terribly
like
upset.
Wanted out.
Yeah, if I get fired.
That was his swan song.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and there's been others. Remember the woman who was, maybe you can find it. She's a good-looking, youngish African-American woman. I think for some reason the story was about weed, and she's doing her report, and she goes, so fuck it. I quit and walked off.
Well, wow. I like that.
No, Brian, I love it here.
I had a sad realization the other day that while I am technically wealthy, I only get my haircut at places with the word clips in it, like sports clips or super clips or whatever clips, and
great
I only
clips.
Stay at hotels that have the word airport in it as well. So I may not be living a life of luxury.
Yeah. No, you're not decadent.
If you see a place and it ends with clips, that's well under $20 for a haircut. You know, this all this like Code Red and all we have, you know, super predators and, you know, killer bees from Africanized killer bees and all this kind of stuff. I've said a million times, we're out of problems. Everyone's got air conditioning and an airbag, and there's a part of our brain, and we need to light up that part of our brain, and so the news is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Life used to do that in the form of, there's a bear on my porch, you know what I mean?
Right.
But now we don't have any danger. The news realizes we have to light up that part of the brain, so we can't just talk about a storm. We have to talk about a red zone storm,
a super storm.
It's the fear factor. fear. It's the whole, we have to keep everybody fear-based.
Right.
You know, and it goes to what you're speaking to. It goes to
government. I don't know that it's like nefarious in terms of we have to keep them fear-based, which it's like, I need your attention and you're not giving me your attention because you're looking at your phone.
Right.
So I need to talk about your kids
what
and how
through.
They're in danger. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to look up and go, what? Who, my kids are in danger?
Right.
Oh, good. I've got your attention. Now let me tell you that story.
Right.
That's not going to sound like that much.
Right, exactly. They do have the clip of the one I was referring to, if you remember this.
Heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but fuck it. I quit.
Not since
how do you transition out of that?
You can take this job and shove it.
That was like in that thing you do. Remember when he quit?
Yeah, playing the drums, right?
That is
no,
like
singing.
Snapping, like I quit.
Oh, I thought he was playing the drums. He was, yeah, I mean, that's right.
Yeah, the drummer.
Remember it was musical.
Spartacus was a good guy. Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be more of that. Well, she didn't look like a typical Alaskan news anchor.
No, or the leader of the Cannabis Society. It's awesome.
No, Alaska's got some range.
Like her. Well, TMZ reports that due to popular demand, Jersey Shore star Vinny Guadagnino, is that right? Am I saying that right? And you can go ahead and roll the video for the boys. Will headline Chippendales again during a 6-week run beginning July 26th, ending September 1st, because apparently he is a big draw and we are watching
his shower
act. On stage. According to TMZ, ticket sales during his April through May run rivaled Tyson Beckford's. That was apparently legendary of 2017. He'll be featured at the Rio Friday and Saturday nights. And when asked about this sort of bare-ass shower scene we're looking at right now, Vinny says it was his choice to get fully nude because he's known to go hard or go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, hey, kudos to him getting paid to take a shower
on
stage.
Take a shower for the ladies.
He's always so lucky.
Yeah.
How'd we go to Denver? Two showers each night.
Oh, yeah.
You've never been so clean.
Yeah.
He's selling out.
That's right.
Yeah, they've approached me. But
Sunday shower still available.
Matinee shower?
There is a move. I don't know what you call it, but I've seen some real sex or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a move, you know. The women's strip club is awesome, but the urban women's strip club is super awesome.
They get after it.
They get after it. And those guys have a weird dick sock move
they do.
It's like a Chinese finger trap with one end.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're stuffing socks in the dick sock, but I mean, there's a lot of dick in those in those socks, and they're swinging that thing around and bashing women in the head with it and whatnot.
Yeah. Jeez. Those are crazy.
Like wind socks.
Have you guys been to Bangkok, Thailand?
No.
Twice last year?
They have this this thing called the ping pong show.
Oh,
heard about
that.
Yeah.
You have to have crazy Kegel muscles.
Yeah, I can't unsee that. You know,
you did see it.
I got talked into going.
Are you sorry you did?
No, because it gave me great comedy fodder. Like I talk about it on stage, and I actually will ask audience members if they've seen it, and people will raise their hand, and I'll bring them up and have them give their version of it.
So it's an interactive show.
Yeah, and you mentioned the what muscle? The Kegel?
The Kegels, yeah.
Kegel.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that word meant until like a week ago. Apparently it's some...
She's got to work out like Rocky to
muscle
do
muscle in a woman's...
Yeah, vaginal
walls.
Vaginal
that allows you to like breathe underwater or some shit.
Yes, that's exactly what it does.
I don't know. You guys are like aquatic, amphibious. I don't know, but this woman put 3 unlit cigarettes in her... And then she lit them, and then she inhaled with her Kegel, and then exhaled, and I was like, oof. In my head, I was like, if you go down on her, do you get throat cancer? Like,
oh, what
is that, you know, is it just
emphysema?
Emphysema? Do you get coughs when you're.
Wow.
Anyway, it was bizarre. Speaking of strip.
Oh,
Maxipata, it just struck me. In the man show, we did movies men don't want to see, I think. We used to do a series called Movies Men Don't Want to See. And one of them was Rugrats Go to Bangkok. And at some point we may have switched it up to movies men do want to see or something, because we would always start with movies, I think it was movies men don't want to see, but the poster's actually in the shop. It's behind us on a wall over in the next section somewhere. But there was a Rugrats Go to Bangkok in movies men don't want to see. And maybe we switch it to movies men do want to see.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that.
I cannot recall. But I do remember the poster art for that. So I don't know what's online, but you can look it up. I'll tell you about JB Weld. For big or small projects, you need something that lasts. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives as our sponsor. We use it here. We use it at home. We use it in the garage. We use it in the studio. It's available at jbweld.com and Home Depot and Lowe's and O'Reilly and Walmart and wherever you get fine adhesives, and get it on Amazon as well. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right, Gina Grad, why don't we bring that home? Max Bad, you can tell us if you found any.
We found
of that.
One of them. I don't know if it's a recurring bit or not, so we're trying to sort through.
I think we did it a few times.
Yeah, it was a few times.
I'll take whatever one you have.
All right, we'll play this one.
Movies men don't want to see.
First up, a comedy from the producers of The First Wives Club. Two of America's most beloved stars in a wild romp through the hilarious world of blanket making. Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin are quilting. A yarn that'll leave you in stitches.
Seriously, my wife would need an ether rag, a roll of duct tape, and a wheelbarrow to get me to that one. Next, an inspiring struggle for pride and survival in the Old West. Dick Van Patten and LeVar Burton experienced firsthand the trials and tribulations of interracial gay adoption in the 1800s. And pioneer dads.
Oh. I wrote that one.
And they work the land and each other.
Oh, yes, they do.
All right.
I would rather take a bus full of hairdressers to see Snoopy on ice than go to this dog. Next, from the makers of Forrest Gump, an ironic tale of one man's fight against fate. Robbie Benson plays a calligrapher whose world comes apart after he's stricken with carpal tunnel syndrome in Broken Quills. His future could use a hand.
If that movie was playing in a theater that was flooded with Old Milwaukee and strippers were drowning in it, I wouldn't step foot inside. All right, now a police saga. Fresh off his smash hit Krippendorf's Tribe, Richard Dreyfuss is Brad Feldman, a Baltimore cop who's never fired his gun, gets along great with his sergeant, plays by the rules, and who the mayor and DA both like a lot in By the Book. He's cleaning up the streets from behind his desk.
I would rather wear Sally Jesse Raphael's panties like a ski mask. While she was in them. Next, history repeats itself as one woman relives the struggles of her past. Coming this fall from Harpo Productions, Whoopi Goldberg is Harriet Tubman V in Freedom Train 2000. Making stops at Dignityville and Equalityburg.
Let me tell you something. If you superglued my genitalia to a cannonball and fired it through the front door of this theater, you couldn't get me to see a second act. Next, from the director of Witness, after murder rocks the Renaissance Festival, Chicago cop Matthew Broderick goes undercover as a leather mug maker in Ye Have the Right to Remain Silent.
Hey.
Hey, who was working the stuff back there? Who is... Oh.
Ye Have the Right to Remain Silent. All right, that's good. We'll find the Bangkok.
Was that the
Rugrats Go to Bangkok? But LeVar, I wrote that one about frontier dads, and LeVar Burton called me at my desk, and I was just sitting at my desk, and a few days later, and like we had a secretary. I don't know what we had. She was like, LeVar Burton's on the phone, and I was like, he is. Like, he wants to talk to you, and I was like, why does he want to talk to me? I don't. no LeVar. But okay, and put LeVar Burton through, and they put him through, and it's like, he was like, what the fuck? And I was like,
was he pissed?
Yeah, he was. He was like, really? Why'd you put me with Frontier Dad or whatever? And I was like, I don't know. I had to choose a black guy and a white guy. And
he should have been thrilled, because it could have been Cuba Gooding Jr. It could have been Gregory Hines.
You're a black guy, and you know, Vince Van, or whatever,
Tom. Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten, Vince Van Vaughn. Vince Van Vaughn. He's white, and this would be funny. And he's like, well, why me?
Was he satisfied with that answer?
Not really. Like not really. Not really. But,
oh, my God.
Was that, that was episode 2 of The Man Show?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that Gary Auerbach who was the producer of that or no?
Yeah, it was Gary.
Yeah, I know Gary.
Nice guy.
Yeah. He moved to, I think he moved to like
Malaysia. He's a neighbor.
He moved out of Hollywood. But, yeah, I remember he was, because we used to, I remember he, him and, I don't know who was the other producer on that, but Gary Auerbach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll try to find some more of those. It was fun. There were certain writing assignments that were boring, but those were fun, like writing those little things. And like, I remember I didn't write "Ye have the right to remain silent," but it made me laugh when I heard that he was a leather mug maker. He went undercover as a leather mug maker. That was, that was funny.
How many sketches would you guys write, and then how many would get passed or get approved? Like on a weekly basis,
we had a big cork board, a big long cork board. Took up we shared an office, a big long. We put stripes on it, be show 1, show 2, all the way like through show 22.
Oh, wow.
And we just start filling them in with these 3x5 cards. There'd be like an act break, and then come back with bumper, you know. And we just start filling them in. Like I can remember, I always remember walking in on day 1. Of season anything, and it, like I'd sit down at my desk and I'd just look at this huge cork board, and it was empty. So there wasn't anything on it, but it had 22 stripes in it, and I was like, how are we going to figure that one out? And then at a certain point, when you get some things like Manovations or movies men don't want to see or things like that, you can start filling it in, because what you'll do is you'll get a card and you'll go, let's do movies men don't want to see episode 3. And then you'll go, we'll do another one on episode 11.
Right.
And we'll do one more at episode 17. And you don't have them written yet, but you know you can slot it in there. And then we'll start working on
those. Sure. So you're kind of benchmarking and then working backwards.
Right. Yeah. It's a good, you know, in terms of a viable skill you'd like your kids to know, it's a good skill. It's like, sit down, look at empty cork board, look at 22 spaces, and now you get some other people and you guys fucking fill it in.
Right.
And you'll blink your eyes and it'll be filled in, and then you'll start over again. That's how it works.
Well, that's kind of like how a comic's brain works in a sense. When you're going on stage and trying material, you kind of work backwards, you know, sometimes. You have an idea, you throw it out there. Sometimes a joke will work later, a month, two, but sometimes a year later you'll try it, and it'll, you know, you'll fill in the blanks eventually.
I think you get the same thing out of restoring a car in your garage. Like it's there, it's a rust bucket, it's a pile of junk, and you start very slowly taking it apart and sending things out, and it's also like, well, I can do a lot of work myself, but I can't chrome the bumpers myself. I'll send those out, but I'll assemble them when I get it out. You do that with coworkers and writer's assistants, and you start working on stuff, and you kind of explain to them what you want. They start learning what you want, and before you know it, you 100 episodes goes
by. Sort of like a comedic composer, right?
Yeah, you have to get a whole band together, and they have to kind of understand what it is that you want.
Yeah.
All right, should we bring it home, Gina Grad?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. So fuck it. I quit.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Max Zapata, is that Rugrats Go to Bangkok poster like up on the shelf over behind us somewhere?
We just found the clip, but I've never seen this.
I had the clip around here somewhere.
That is a hilarious poster.
But that may have been movies we wanted to see.
It did evolve into, like, every once in a while you did movies men do want to see.
Yeah, so then you could fill up another slot in your 22 corkboard if you evolved it to, we want to see the Rugrats go to Bangkok. Do we have it?
Yeah. This is the clip. But this is movies men don't want to see.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm playing.
See this film. Next up, one for the dads to avoid. When Nickelodeon's favorite cartoon kids and the parents who habitually neglect them travel abroad, they wind up kidnapped by opium fiends and forced into child prostitution in Rugrats in Bangkok.
Ping pong ball, dodging ping pong ball.
Ping pong, yeah, yeah.
There's something completely new in their diapers.
All right. That's a poster of the Rugrats and the chick with their legs spread and
dodging.
And the guys behind them with swords and eyelashes.
Who was commissioned to put that poster together?
Well,
somebody must have gone to Bangkok and seen the show.
All the Comedy Central brass were middle-aged women, and they did not like a lot of the stuff we were passing their way.
I can't imagine they
were. The guys in the back.
Yeah.
And I was always in charge. I'd always play good cop and bad cop, and Danny Kellison and Jimmy were kind of the bad cop, and I was the good cop, and for some reason, Debbie Liebling, who was running the comedy department or something over there, sort of liked me. Well, she liked everybody, but she'd listen to me or something. And so, like, I'd have to call her up and go, hey, man, it's Adam now. Let's talk about this poster. And
well, the ping pong balls? Let's talk.
They hated all of the stuff we did that had to do with a woman's vagina.
Of course.
They hated it. And we'd argue. My greatest argument that it ever won with her, because at a certain point, Jimmy and Daniel, they would get frustrated and they go, Adam, you call her and you talk to her and tell her why it's so important that we have this poster, whatever. And we had a joke. There was a joke about two women, and these two women were like Yugoslavian, and one picked up a potato and said, like, this reminds me of my husband's balls. And the other one went, because they're big. And another one went, no, because they're dirty or something. It was a dumb joke. I don't know what it was. But she just went, no, you're not going to make fun of Yugoslavians or whatever the group was. You can't make fun of this group. You're making fun of Yugoslavian men, whatever it was. And They argued, and then eventually we swapped a new name. Instead of Yugoslavian, we did the thing where you make up a new country, like Parador, you know? It's like, and all the writers, and to us, it fell flat because it doesn't exist, and it felt like a bad joke. And they said to me, you got to call her, and you got to push this Yugoslavian thing over the edge. And so here's what happened. So I called her up, and I said, hey, Debbie, I want to talk about this Yugoslavian scrotum sack joke. We're really married to it. Like, we really love it. You know, it's going to make or break the show. And she said, well, I don't want the two Yugoslavian women talking about their Yugoslavian husband and how smelly, as dirty his balls are. And I said, okay, well, let's hold on a second. I said, what's your nationality? And she's like, Irish. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what's your husband's nationality? And she goes, oh, he's Italian. And I go, okay. So my mom is English, but my dad is Italian. And so you're, and my wife is something different than me. So just because two women who are Yugoslavian are talking about their husband's balls doesn't mean the husbands are Yugoslavian.
Has nothing to do with it.
In your case, it's different. Wow. In my case, it's different.
True.
In my parents' case, it's different.
Right.
So how would we be making fun of if you're
why are you connecting those dots?
You're Irish. You're talking to another Irish person about your husband's balls, but your husband's Italian, so we'll never know. And she, like, paused. She's like, oh, fuck it.
Like, she threw in the towel. She just, like, take it.
So done with you.
I think I beat her on a technicality.
But is that stuff, you think that stuff is permissible these days? Like, when you're doing the Bangkok Rugrats in Bangkok and that kind of poster, you think that stuff would fly now? Like, that was, what,
those 20? Ping pong balls would fly, definitely.
Aerodynamic.
I have no goddamn idea. I will tell everyone, Denver Comedy Works tonight, tomorrow, two shows tonight, two shows Saturday, Comedy Works South, I believe it is. Yep, there it is. And say hi in between shows. We'll all be out there. I'll be doing stand-up Portland, Monterey, and other places coming up. Go to amcroll.com. If you'd like to find out, live shows everywhere, my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Materials, available everywhere, Meme Gods, and When We Went Mad, the two docs we're working at, you can check out at microventures.com/Adam. Laughs for Bull Bryan.
With
Bull Bryan.
Stick around for a while.
Well, that's right.
Yes.
That's so the website.
With Bull Bryan, and check that out as well at laughswithbullbryan.com. Ahmed, Ahmed, live shows coming up, Phoenix, Houston, Vegas, and go to ahmedahmed.com for your tickets. And check out 22 Hours, American Nightmare, on Podcast One as well. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Ahmed, Ahmed, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Not a lipstick lesbian, not a butch dyke. I think that's what I'd be, a sweatpants lesbian.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tonight, Denver, Comedy Works South, and tomorrow night, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, Adam Carolla is unprepared. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.